Hi, I'm Ruth Pointer, and you're listening to Life Minute TV.
Two legendary music groups, the Commodores and the Pointer Sisters, are on tour this summer. An evening of icons with special guests the Spinners kicks off July 26th with stops across the country through November. I caught up with Ruth Pointer, the last surviving member of the iconic threesome, who's reliving all those classic songs we know and love with her daughter and granddaughter on stage.
Well, it's the Pointer Sisters and the Spinners and the Commodores. It should be a lot of fun. I haven't seen any of those guys in such a long time, and it'll be wonderful to see them. And, you know, and just remember the times when those iconic songs were all over the airways, you know, because it was definitely a very, very special moment in music. I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. They're all fun songs, you know, and I'm so excited because it's just that song that just describes the group as far as I'm concerned. And it's kind of like our little anthem, you know. When people say it, they kind of automatically think about us, and that was why we wrote it. We said, whenever they say that phrase, they're going to go, oh, yeah, the Pointer Sisters in their mind, even if they don't say it, you know. Yeah, and I do love performing Neutron Dance. I love singing Happiness because the lyrics are just amazing. I want your love forever, happiness. Someone brought to my attention a song that we recorded a few years ago by Stephen Stills, As I Come of Age, and the song just brought me to tears, you know, because I don't have my sisters anymore, and that song was like, whew. As I come of age, I keep falling down, and I feel just like a schoolgirl I was in. I listened to it the minute that the person that was interviewing me mentioned it after I got off the phone. I said, let me play this song, because I couldn't remember exactly. And when I played it, oh my God, all it brought back to me was that magical, instant harmony that me and my sisters had. That was unspeakable and so, no pun intended, automatic. But it was just something we did without thinking about it. We each knew which part the other was going to be singing, and we didn't have to think about it. When the song came up, we just fell into our spot. That's exactly what we're known for. And I just know that we did the best that we could at what we had to offer. And that was a variety of different types of music, which we loved all of it. And we never wanted to be pigeonholed into one type of music, which was something that we definitely went into the business insistent about. We didn't want to be a predominantly R&B artist because we never felt completely secure as far as our abilities went for that. Even though we're Black artists, we didn't come from that kind of background. So we just wanted to be able to sing what we sang best, which was a touch of country, a touch of pop, a touch of blues, and a touch of R&B, but none of it specific, because we just didn't feel that way. And so I hope that our legacy can be appreciated for the variety that we brought.
Amazing. Did you guys always know you wanted to do this, or did you just fall into it?
No, not at all. My sisters, Bonnie and June, were the real two who considered, maybe we can do something with this, and started, you know, singing around in the San Francisco Bay Area together with different local people that, you know, that was during the late 60s when, you know, it was like a youth revolution going on, you know, the Vietnam War and hippies, and it was a lot of changes. So they were caught right in that and just pulled me and Anita back into it. I mean, we just knew that we had something because we always were singing around the house. There was always music in our home. my mom would give us some grocery list to go to the store and get a couple of items, and we'd make up a song about it so we wouldn't forget what to get. A loaf of bread, a carton of milk, a loaf of bread. You know, I mean, we'd just make up stuff. So singing was just like the air that we breathed. It was that easy, you know. From singing in my dad's church, it was just something we just did. Learning how to sing in a choir, you learn your part, whether it was soprano, alto, tenor, or bass, or whatever. And you had to be in that lineup of people who sang the same, you know, as you. But you had to be able to hold on to your own note while the other parts were being sung as well, which is not easy. Because I know that now, but I thought, you know, that it was something that people could do. But even with my daughter and my granddaughter, I find that when I'm singing with them, sometimes they slip into my, you know, my melody. And I go, no, you have to hold on to your part. You know, they were pretty much born into this because that's all they know from me.
Yeah.
I mean, I was 8 months pregnant with Issa performing at Carnegie Hall. So she really didn't have much choice. And my granddaughter, Sadako, my oldest daughter's daughter. And, she, you know, that's all she's ever known of me. And when I gave them the opportunity to step in, they were scared and excited and all of that. And I told them, I said, look, just get up there and have a good time, you know, because those songs are fun. And this doesn't take a whole lot of trying to understand what it means and is the message right and am I going to deliver it right and all that. Just get up there and sing and dance and have a good time.
What is your proudest moment as an artist?
Wow, that's a tough question because there have been so many.
What about the first Grammy Award for Best Country Performance?
At the time, we were so young and so new in the industry, we didn't even understand, I don't think, how much of an impact that was.
Yeah.
Because we were just caught up in the middle of what we were doing. We were on the road, we were recording, we were on the road, and it's like, oh, you got a Grammy, oh, okay. No one really had time to sit back and sort of think, ooh, Grammy, country, first females, really? Mm-mm. All of that came much later, those thoughts.
And then what about writing for you guys?
I wasn't much of a big writer. My sisters, Anita and June, were really the writers. And I'm so grateful for them because they loved writing. I would try a little bit, but I never felt very confident about what I was writing about. They were gracious enough to include me in the publishing because me and June would add certain things, you know, to the writing, which made us included in the writing. But the foundations of the songs that were written by my sisters were primarily by Bonnie and Anita. You know, that I'm just grateful that they did that, you know, because I'm still reaping the benefits from that. Thank you, my sisters, you know, really. But like I said before, we were on the road so much and we were so busy all the time. We used to get so envious of people that we would hear who took the time out to write. You know, I remember Fleetwood Mac talking about how they would go to Australia or go to some remote place, Sting and going to Europe and getting a studio and different artists that would just take this block out this time and just go somewhere and all the whole band together would just write and just, and I think, damn, I wish we could do that. But we never felt like we could afford to do that, you know? And no one really stepped up to be able to support us in doing that. It was always get on the road. You got to get out there, get on the road, get on the road, go on the road. You got to get out there and do your shows. And we were like, but we don't have any time to write. We don't have any time, you know? That was something that was a hard lesson that we had to learn that I see in the young generation coming up. You know, they've learned that lesson, honey, and they are writing and they are living their lives. And I'm so happy that, you know, we were able to make some kind of foundation, even if it was hard for us, that they saw a direction that they might not have to go in. You know, if you're speaking of advice to young artists coming along, maybe just pay attention, you know, pay attention and keep your health. You know, I mean, I personally went through some really hard times with drug abuse and alcohol abuse and was fortunate enough to, you know, get my life back on track. I would just have to say to young artists, you know, stay clean, stay healthy, because that's all you've got. You know, stay clean, stay healthy, and just stay aware of what's going on. You know, I mean, during those times, artists were worked so hard and we were so naive about the business. You know, we didn't know that there were certain elements about the business that we could have taken advantage of that would have sort of protected us from working as hard as we did and even going as far as to feeling like we needed some kind of chemical to bolster us up and make us focus. It was just a lot, you know. So if artists can stay clean and stay healthy, I think they'll have it made.
What does music do for people?
Music brings people together. You have all types of people in your audience, all different colors, all different cultures, all different political views. You don't even know. And they're all out there together. That, to me, is magical. When I began to travel to other countries where people don't even speak English, we would get up on stage and sing our songs and they would react. And I was like, wow, Asia, Europe. I'm like, you know, they don't even speak English, but they're dancing and they're singing. It's amazing, you know?
What's next for you?
What's next for me? Well, I'm just sort of living out my days, getting older, getting a little slower. I'm 78, and I'm just trying to enjoy my life. You know, I don't try to push anything too hard. I go out on the road when I want to go. I don't really have to go. You know, my husband and I have worked very hard saving our money and investing and doing different things that make our life comfortable. So I'm grateful that, you know, I'm really at a point in my life where I can pretty much do what I want to do. And so that's kind of like what's next for me. You know, I have five beautiful children. They're all grown now and we adore each other. I have three grandchildren and one great-grandson whose birthday actually was yesterday. My great-grandson turned, I think, 9 years old. And I'm just enjoying my family, enjoying my home, and enjoying the things that we've contributed to the industry. I think about it now, and I just sometimes say to myself, man, look at what you guys did. It's just a miracle, you know, because when you asked me earlier, did we think we were gonna, you know, go in this direction in our lives? And I didn't. My sisters may have had other thoughts, but never in my life did I think this was gonna be my life. You know, a lot of hard knocks, but a lot of great rewards. And I really don't have any regrets, you know. I'm grateful that we were given that gift and that we could share it with the world.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.